it's such a wonderful chapter. I know there's at least eight, maybe there's 10 reasons in chapter 8 of why we should be joyful as Christians. But chapter 7, real quick, Paul describes condemnation while living under the law of Moses, right? And whole one of the main things there is what he's highlighting is that under the old law, the law of Moses, you had to keep it perfect, right? And if you just sinned one time, that was it. And you know, and even says in verse 24, chapter 7, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this, from the body of this death? Well, he gave the answer in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, there in verse 25. So now he's going to contrast that in chapter 8 with the life under grace compared to that life under law. And so verses 1 through 3, he says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, right, the law of Moses, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. You know, again, the old law brought condemnation, but one of the main things that Paul's clarifying in the book of Romans is there's good news through the gospel, right? It's all the good news, right? We've talked about that recently, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And here in Romans 8 and verse 1, there's no condemnation, right? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, a couple chapters earlier in Romans 6, 3, and 4, he tells us how to get to Christ, of course, right? Reenacting his death, burial, and resurrection, water, baptism, immersion. And so here, right, he said this action is described as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, verse 2. He said that getting into Christ is going to set you free from the law of sin and death, right? And again, that's life outside of Christ and under the law of Moses, right? Again, if you sin one time, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, your sins, transgressions, iniquity, they make a separation between you and God. And so Paul here is just really highlighting the wonderful news that we have in Christ. And, you know, and of course the cost for that, he's highlighting Jesus. You know, he came to this earth, he lived among us, and he died without sin, right? The Hebrews writer talks about that, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 10, and became that perfect sacrifice for us, right? That perfect payment for our sins. Peter, and we're going to have this as our invitation, and if you're subject to it, we encourage you to respond. You know, Peter, in a very similar way, in Acts chapter 2, he's kind of concluding his sermon in a similar way to what Paul did in chapter 7 with the answer before that in chapter 6, but then he's highlighting the results of it in chapter 8, you know, if you will. So what he does here in Acts chapter 2, he's concluding his sermon by explaining what a sinner has to do. Right, what they have to believe concerning Jesus. There in Acts 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And of course, they respond, you know, they're cut to the heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer is repent and be baptized. And so Romans 8, 1 through 3, powerful passage here, encouraging us, giving us hope, right? We are not condemned to death, right? So if you have obeyed the gospel, great news, right? Rejoice in that and let that highlight your walk in Christ. If you haven't, now you know what to do. And if you're ready to respond, we'd love to help you or study with that a little bit more. Let's take care of that. But if you have any need this evening, let somebody know as we stand. As we say.